This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. There are a lot of ways we can define home, and whether we're proud of it, embarrassed by it, love it, hate it, miss it, or whatever, where we are and where we live is a big part of who we are. So for better or for worse, home has helped cultivate who we've become in our lives, and our lives are full of stories about it. So it is totally appropriate that people behind Audio Under the Stars have decided to kick off their second season of listening parties with stories of homecoming, stories of leaving and returning. Jenny Morgan and Elizabeth Friend are two of the producers behind the event, and they join us now. Welcome, Jenny and Elizabeth. Good to have you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
And joining us from is Durham native Kathleen House. She's participated in a one-day recording event at the Durham History Hub. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Jenny, tell us a little bit. We have to remind everybody what Audio Under the Stars is, and tell us about the event again.
Sure. So Audio Under the Stars is a summer-long audio festival. We curate audio stories for an audience in an outdoor setting where we invite people to bring lawn chairs and blankets, and we curate a playlist of stories around a theme.
So you're actually listening to recorded stories, right? People out standing in front of a mic and
That's
you're listening
right.
to the Elizabeth, tell us about this year's theme.
Well, we're starting this year with the theme of homecoming because for us, we really are coming home to the Center for Documentary Studies. We've changed venues. That's the place we grew out of. We met as audio producers and sort of fostered this community of producers. And we're coming back there for this whole season. So we thought that's how we'd start off season two.
So those were the prompts, and we got some recordings. And Jenny, one of the stories was recorded at the Durham History Hub. It's the story of Mary Yorty. And we're going to play a little bit of that, but maybe you can set it up for us.
Sure. Mary Yorty came to Durham. She moved here in the 1980s, and when she was trying to get acquainted with the neighborhood, she decided she was going to clean up what she thought was a storm drain and discovered that it was in fact a spring.
And let's hear a little bit of her story.
My name is Mary Yorty. I've lived in Durham since 1989. When I first moved to my neighborhood, it was an area that's all rentals, 1960s development, and kind of a no-history zone. And I was, you know, walking around. I was trying to figure out how to kind of bond to a neighborhood like that. At the corner of Markham and Washington, there's this peculiarity of this, like, really deep, narrow gulch. And when I first moved into the neighborhood, it was really full of trash. And it was just called The Hole. And everybody assumed that the water in there was just street runoff. I thought that it didn't help that corner, which is very close to my home and a place, you know, I walk by there every day. So it seemed like it would be a decent, you know, day's work and a project to just get the trash out. So I did the first cleanup myself. And then the next year, I got a little help from the neighborhood cleaning it out. And it really is not very much water, but it comes from a spring. And knowing that that was spring water trickling through there, I thought, I'm going to take this up a notch. And I began to host this event called Fairy Hollow on summer solstice. I didn't really know this when I started Fairy Hollow and said, yeah, we could do that. But there's kind of a fairy house movement. And it has rules and things. As far as I know, a real fairy house has to be built on site where it's going to stand out of only natural materials. So we're not really following those rules.
That's a little bit of Mary Yorty's story. It's a piece produced by Mar Maximov. It's titled The Fairy House, and it was recorded at the Durham History Hub, going to be featured at this Friday night's listening event, Audio Under the Stars. And Elizabeth, that brings us to the next level of this, which is, again, it's not just a storytelling event. There's some production going on here, so somebody else is sort of weighing in on the story, right?
Right. And one of the things that we thought would be really valuable in partnering with the History Hub was that we would take sort of the raw material of oral history, which I think can be daunting sometimes for the average listener, and really polish it up and pull those narrative threads together and make a story that really captures listeners' attention while still conveying the history and the context and the true voice and personality of the person you're talking to.
We have one of those persons with us right now, Kathleen House, a lifelong resident of Durham, North Carolina, who went to the Durham History Hub. Tell us, Kathleen, first of all, welcome. It's so nice to have you here. Why did you decide then to go to the Durham History Hub and record your story?
Because I wanted to tell my story. I'm a Durhamite. I've been here 56 years, and
I've watched Durham change so much. I was telling someone it's like being standing still and have a kaleidoscope going around me all the time. And I just wanted to share that story and how I learned about the various classes in Durham and the fact that I grew up poor and found out there were a lot of different classes in Durham. So I wanted to tell my story.
Well, we could certainly have you sit right here in front of that microphone and tell the story. But I do want to play a little piece of the recording and then talk to you about it afterwards. Let's listen.
My name is Kathleen Elizabeth House, and I'm 56 years old, and I have lived here 56 years. I was born in a project called Few Gardens. My father was on the road. I'm not sure what he had done wrong. That means he was in prison, aiding and abetting something. So they put my mother and my little brother and me in a brand new housing project, and she loved it because it was brand new. And then once he got out, he wasn't in there very long, maybe a year, year and a half. He found a house. This was in a part of town called Edgemont. East Durham was the poor part of Durham, the poorer part of Durham, where all the mills were. We just kept moving and moving and moving and moving, and it seemed like we moved from one mill house to another mill house to another mill house to another mill house, but each one was a little better. Would I move back to East Durham? If I could afford to move back to East Durham. I'm so afraid that one day I'm not going to be able to afford the city that I spent so much time in. If they could find me a little place in East Durham, yes, sir, I'd be back at home.
That's the voice of my guest, Kathleen House, who participated in a one-day recording event put on at the Durham History Hub. Producers of Audio Under the Stars sponsored that, and the next Audio Under the Stars event, Friday, at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University. Kathleen, when you recorded it, and now when you listen back, does it change how you your story? Not that the details change, but how you feel about it, or how you understand your story.
It brings back a lot of memories. No, it doesn't really change how I feel about my story. I mean, I told it from the bottom of my heart. That's exactly how I lived things and saw things. And it's still the way that I see things going in Durham. We're still segregated.
Still a pretty segregated place. And you
yes.
felt it then. It's interesting because, you know, I mean, Durham's reputation, if you ask the hipsters here now and many of the people listening to the show, they would like to think things have gotten better. But you're saying, wait a minute. In some ways, maybe, but you don't see it that way.
It depends on how you look at it. I mean, most of the people on certain sides of Durham, especially West Durham, aren't from Durham. And so it kind of leaves the Durhamites out because we either can't afford or we just don't get the information of what's going on around us. My son just moved back to St. Thomas, and while he was visiting, he said he felt not welcomed at home.
What was your hope in doing in recording the story and having other people hear it?
My hope was that we could reach out to two other people like me from Durham and from various sides of Durham, and advertising, not just in the, to have it advertised all over Durham. That this can be about Durham or people that have moved to Durham and what we are now and what we can be together.
Well, there are a lot of stories involved in this project, Jenny, and I want to play one piece, the story of Yara Allen, and maybe you can set it up for us.
Sure. I met Yara Allen in 2013. I was documenting the Moral Monday movement, and Yara Allen is a community organizer who works for the North Carolina NAACP. And I sat down with her and recorded basically an oral history, a life story, and this story came from it.
My name is Yara Allen. I am 50 years old, and I live in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. I'm a lifelong resident of Rocky Mount, and I recall going to school and being hit by a white parent whose kids just the day before had thrown dirt in my face and called me the N-word. And we were raised to believe that, you know, that's not what you are. It's what you'll hear that's not what you are. And so I was very offended by that. And it turned into a physical altercation. And the next day, I returned to school and I was locked in the principal's office with this parent. And I was begging and pleading to call my parents, and they wouldn't allow me to do it. And the parent hit me, and he called me the N-word. And I recall hitting the floor. I just fell to the floor and pain. Just remembering it now, it's just like, almost like when people say it's like it happened yesterday, it's seriously like it happened yesterday. But while I was down there, I think I didn't audibly hear it, but there was something on the inside of me. I heard my father say, "If you can fight, fight." And I reached up and I grabbed a staple machine from the table. And I opened it and I took a swing and I got the parent off of me. And I remember the black secretary who worked there. I remember hearing her unlock the door and telling me, "Run." Finally, when I went back to school, they didn't say anything to me because they knew that they were wrong. And they wanted to keep that as hush-hush as possible. So we were all quiet about it. Years later, I was an adult when I told my mother about it. And I saw her eyes tear up. And she left the room. She came back and she asked, "Why didn't you tell me?" And I said, "I was afraid." And she said, "Well, you came out okay." She said, "But I am so glad that," in a sense, she said, "I'm so glad that you didn't tell your father, because you would have grown up without him." So it was just something that I carried with me. And I've never run from a fight, but not just a fight. I don't mean like, you know, little neighborhood fights or anything. If there is something that threatens my safety, that threatens the safety of people that I love, of innocent people, I'm up for the fight. I'm up for the fight.
Yara Allen sharing a story from her home in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, produced by my guest, Jenny Morgan. And Elizabeth Friend, it suggests to me when Jenny says, you know, meets somebody, hears a story and says, "Oh, I have a tape recorder. This needs to be told." I mean, I guess this is the importance of mediators and journalists. And all these great stories are out there, like Kathleen's story as well. There's something about this role as mediator that gets them from the individual to the rest of us, right?
And I feel like you're really asking someone to trust you when you sit down and put a microphone in front of their face, because you are asking them to share something deeply personal. And if the interview goes well, you probably will go somewhere very personal and emotional. And then you come away as the producer from that interview feeling like you are carrying something fragile and valuable, and it's up to you to make the most of it.
And there are lots of variety. There is a lot of variety in these stories, from these deeply personal and in some ways painful stories to other stories that talk about Durham as a place and the sense of place you get. And I guess that brings us, Jenny, to the story of the restaurant, the former Honey's Restaurant, no longer there on Interstate 85. Maybe you can set that one up for us.
Sure. Well, this piece is actually produced by Elizabeth Friend, and it is Elizabeth Fritz's memories of Honey's throughout her lifetime. So,
I was 12 years old when Honey's opened in 1961. Then I remember high school. That was one of the big places to go. You'd go from Honey's and then wind around and go over back to Main Street to Tops, and then go back to Tops and then circle back to Honey's. That was the gathering place on Friday nights after football games or basketball games. Everybody would go to Honey's. On Saturday night, date night, after you'd been to a movie, then you would go to Honey's. Honey's was there from pre-adolescence until senior citizen in my life. And I think it was a real shame that it got knocked down and they built another McDonald's. It was a real comfortable place to go. Nothing fancy at all. No gourmet food. Didn't have any claim to fame for its fine cuisine. But it was a nice, comfortable, safe place to go. and people flocked there. And I don't know what they do now that they don't have Honeys to go to. It was just a Northern Durham County institution that they tore down.
A piece of audio that will be featured this week at Audio Under the Stars, an event at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke at 8 o'clock on Friday. And Elizabeth, we've talked about the Durham History Hub. That's become a real locus for some of the story gathering that you've done. Talk about that collaboration.
Yeah, I think that all throughout our last season, last year, we had a sense that they were this great repository for Durham knowledge, Durham history, and Durham personalities. We really didn't have the manpower to delve into their archive at the time. So this time around, we went into it very intentionally thinking, we want to collaborate, we want to work together, we want to take advantage of that wonderful recording space that they have where they draw people in, they interview them, and they automatically archive it to the Durham Library, and also see if we can tease something out of it that will work in an entertainment setting as well.
Very cool event. Thank you very much for talking to us about it. Elizabeth Friend and Jenny Morgan are two of the producers behind the audio listening parties known as Audio Under the Stars. Kathleen House is a Durham native who participated in a one-day recording event at the Durham History Hub. And the event is May 29th. It's Friday at 8 o'clock at the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke. You can find out more information at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Al Budarsky is sitting in today. Andrew Tai is our intern. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.